what I want to see from MSU and USA Gymnastics and, you know, realistically the Olympic Committee and the Carolis and Twist Stars and, you know, Gettard, and I just want the truth. I feel like with everything that we have been through and everything that everybody is going through, we just want the truth. We want those that knew about it. It was reported in 97 to the MSU gymnastics coach. Like, why wasn't that moved forward? Why did that coach, why did Kathy believe that she did not have to report it? Why was the MSU mindset at that time, it is not a mandatory reporting? Why was that okay? So the truth and the answers to how there were so many breakdowns in the system, how is that allowed to happen? And they need to come forward. It's going to come forward. The truth is going to come out. So seeing those parties take responsibility and take ownership for that and say, you know what? We messed up. This happened. This is, you know, how we're going to address it. This is how we're going to fix it. But we messed up. MSU is not taking accountability for anything. And as a survivor, like, that hurts. We're going through this. We want accountability. We want them to admit what happened. We want them to just speak the truth. Speak the truth. Be honest with themselves. Be honest with us. And be honest with everybody who is impacted by this situation.
How do you balance for yourself that desire for the truth and also your desire and need to move on and heal? It must be hard.
It is hard to balance the two, but they're very much one and the same. I can only speak for myself, but I know a big part of being able to move on is, you know, we aren't able to move on until the truth comes out, until this is solved, until this is resolved. With sentencing, that was a step in the right direction. It was a step to help us start healing. But the realities of the situation is that this is so much bigger than just, you know, Larry. It extends beyond him. And until we're able to get that truth, I don't know if there is a balance between healing and knowing the truth, because I'm not able to fully heal until I know and understand the truth of what happened.
So a lot of people in the community are asking, what can they do? I think they've heard the stories and they have felt the pain with all of you and they want to help. Do you have a message for the community, how the community can help you survivors heal? And is there anything else that you think they can do to move this education and this change forward?
I have to say that the,
it's okay.
I'm the crier of the group. The love and support from the community has been overwhelming. It's definitely not something that I expected. It's not something I realized I needed at the time. I thought I could handle this all on my own, and I realized very quickly that, you know, there are days where I break down and it's, you know, hard to stand up and keep moving. And then I read messages from friends, family, people I don't know that, you know, find my information, you know, on Facebook or send a message, and they're able to kind of hold me up sometimes when I can't. And that response from the community and, you know, my students' parents and my students and, you know, my family and my close friends has been unbelievable. And I love them for that. And I think when it comes to what the community can do to help is that support for the survivors, making sure that all of the survivors are having that support is huge. And I think the other part of that for me personally is having those conversations with their kids, using this as a learning opportunity to sit down and have some tough conversations with the kids, their kids, and say, okay, you know, this is what's going on. This is what we need to talk about. This is what I want you to be able to do. I think that's one of those important steps. But I also think emailing, questioning, talking to their legislators, what are the laws? How can we improve these laws? How is it possible that these people were not required to report? How did that get through the system? So asking questions and putting pressure not just on MSU and USA Gymnastics, I think that that's key, but also communicating that message throughout sports, asking questions. Wait a minute, you know, my son or daughter is in youth soccer. What are our policies on this? How can we make sure that our kids are continuing to be safe? So I think keeping the pressure and the conversation going in a progressive way is what they can continue to do to help. And that includes USA Gymnastics and MSU and, you know, Twistars and the major players of this case. That's a big part of it, is keeping that pressure, not letting it, you know, get swept under the rug. And I think, unfortunately, one of the big differences between things that have happened in the past and our case being compared is that, unfortunately, it's a difference between boys and girls. That this was a case of women that were standing up against a man. And in the beginning, you know, Rachel was, the things that were said about her and to her were horrible. And I think it is a gender issue. And I hope that those are the conversations and that's the progression that we can take and our communities can take to alter that mindset within their, you know, area. It starts at the ground level. Changing things at the top is step one, but bringing that change on the ground level will eventually grow to the top, and that's what communities can continue to do to make sure that this never happens again.
So when you're talking about, you know, the future and the safety of kids, what's your perspective on that as a teacher?
When I look at my students and I look at, you know, who they are as a whole person, I know that, you know, teaching content and curriculum is only part of our job. You know, helping our students grow as individuals into who they are is a big part of our job. So I feel like when I say I want to see that change or be a part of that change in the culture is making sure that the people in the communities that are surrounding these kids are giving them an opportunity to learn how to handle these different situations. I feel like before this that society maybe hasn't been as open to the realities of sexual abuse and sexual child abuse to what they really are. And I feel like we have an opportunity to, you know, through schools and through community programs, to really build a mindset that allows kids to understand the differences between, you know, we teach the extremes of abuse, but what if you just feel uncomfortable? Like, can you ask questions? Can you talk to someone? What adults are the adults that you can talk to? And I talked to my students, you know, just yesterday, and I said, what hurts me as a teacher is these girls, some of these girls came forward to adults, and those adults failed them. And that's what hurts, because I'm an adult in a situation where I will not fail them. And I told them, you matter, and your voice matters, and I will not fail you, and the other teachers in this building will not fail you. And knowing, helping our kids to understand that, you know, if they talk to one adult and that adult is not hearing them, that they go to another adult, and they go to another adult, and they go to another adult until they find that adult that is going to hear them and be there with them and help them through this and help them through that process. And I don't know if every student knows that their teachers are those people, you know, their parents, and they're like, there are people that are here ready to help them through anything that they need, because it can be very scary. And that's what we want to do for our kids, is make sure that we are there to help them every step of the way.
Thank you so much for talking with me, Gwen.
Absolutely. And, you know, I thank you for continuing to give the sister survivors and myself a voice and helping bring change that needs to happen.